I will say good morning to everybody. What a beautiful day to be in the house of the Lord. I was supposed to do some announcements. I was told, and I heard on TV, that Haiti has been in a hurricane. I think it's a hurricane. Anyway, there were a lot of people in the damage, and some of our brethren people there, I understand, were in with that situation, and let's just continue to pray for them. I'm sure they're in a hustle and a bustle trying to think which direction do we go. And I think I told some of you that Jean Wagner, who is the owner of Joy Bookstore, she had a heart operation. I didn't hear this morning how she's doing, but I know her son told me she needs our prayer also. So does anybody else have any special announcements? If you do, please come forward. If not, we will move on. Okay, so we're going to allow Barb to do her beautiful music. Thank you, Barb. That was beautiful. We will now turn to your bulletin to the call to worship, which is taken from Isaiah 34, 1 to 3. Okay, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
My soul praises the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad.
O magnify the Lord with me.
And let us
the song that we'll be singing is page 112 in the blue hymnal. O Lord, how majestic. And I had to think, and I have a tape, Dawn and Randy Marks. Every day I put that on, and that is one of the songs they sing. How beautiful.
Would you pray with me, please?
Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come to worship you this morning. We just praise you, and we have begun to praise you. We pray, Lord, that each of us might recognize your presence in our midst. Lord, might we not only worship you, but might you challenge us to walk more like Jesus, for it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Jim. All right, you may be seated, and we have special music, so you may come forward.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, lady. That was beautiful. It almost feels like you're on your way to heaven. All right, my scripture this morning will be from Psalms 34, 11 to 14. I'm not used to using this version. I usually have the NIV. So just follow with me. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Which of you desires life and covets many days to enjoy good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. All right, we will now have a hymn. You may all rise from page 306 as we come to thee in prayer. You may be seated. We come in time for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you with thankful hearts. We thank you for all the times you are watch over us. Help us, Lord, to be willing to reach out to others in the need. Help us not to become angry with things that do not suit us. Help us to control our thoughts and words when trouble comes before us. Today, we know there are many who are suffering with illness, loneliness, and they need someone to care for them. Help us, Lord, as a church to reach out to those who are hurting. May we here at the church stand firm on the word of God and remember God is there for us. The day Christ comes will be a day of reward. We thank God for our children who are coming here to church. And may we reach out to them, teach them God's way. We want to pray for our church leadership and also for the government. Lord, you have blessed us literally with showers of blessings. May each of us reach out to someone with God's blessings. And we pray for Pastor Jim as he is here with us this morning. Oh God, give him the words of wisdom, and we pray that the message will touch each one of our hearts. Help us to rise up and rebuild. Rebuild a church and rebuild our lives. These blessings we ask in your name. Amen. All right. We now have another a song, Help Us to Help Each Other. How meaningful can that be? All right. Thank you. want to stand, you may stand. At this time, I would like all the lovely children to come forward. Okay, boys and girls, it's good to see all of you. You didn't expect me up here, did you? You thought Reverend Dennis would be, but he's on a trip to see his son. Okay, my story today is called Lunch with God. What's that all about? Well, there was a young boy who would have liked to seen God, but he said it would have been too far to go. So he packed up his lunch, put it in his bag, and he came. He thought, well, I'll go to the park. So he may come now, and I think he wants to see what's going on at the park. So we have this young boy. He packed his suitcase. He put root beer sodas in, and he put some cookies in it. So he decided he's going to walk to the park. And when he got to the park, he saw an elderly lady sitting there. And he decided, I'm going to sit down beside her. So he did. He sat down beside her. And then he was going to take a soda out and drink it himself. Is a little boy here? What would you like? So anyway, he decided he was going to drink a soda, but when he saw the elderly lady sitting there, he said, you know what? She looks hungry. So he decided to give her a cookie. So he gave her a cookie, and you know what? When he gave her that cookie, I don't know if you will all see, but she gave him the biggest smile. Isn't that sweet, this elderly lady? And you just think about it, boys and girls. This is a young boy. He's not an older man now doing all this. God had sent this young boy to take care of, and he got right there in time to this lady. And when he got there, he was really happy. So, you know, he thought, I'm going to try it again. I want to see her smile because it's so beautiful. So he thought he'll get out a root beer and give her a root beer. And when he gave her the root beer, she again gave him a big smile. Did you give her the root beer? Oh, boy, you are getting treated well. This is an elderly lady that he's reaching out to. So they sat there, and they smiled, and they looked at each other. And then he thought he's going to get up. He thought he would get up and go. Stand up. But then all of a sudden he thought, I'm going to go back and give this elderly lady a hug. you give her a hug. So he gave this elderly lady a hug. Just look at that, this young boy giving this elderly lady a hug. How many of you give your mothers and daddies a hug? Right. So this is a nice young man. God had sent him there for a purpose, and he was able to reach out to this elderly lady. And then after a bit, you know what? It was getting dark. They thought, both of them thought, we better start heading home. Excuse me. So when they got home, the mother to the boy said, "Boy, you look so happy today. What made you so happy?" He said, "I had lunch with God." And that he meant that God was there with him as he gave. And you know what, Mom? She gave the most beautiful smile. He was reaching out to her. And then when the elderly lady got home, her son said to her, "What makes you so happy today?" She said, "I had lunch with God." And then she said, "But you know, he was so small." But you know what, boys and girls? You each here this morning have an opportunity to reach out to somebody. Did you ever help somebody that was an older person who had their hands full and couldn't open the door? So you ran there and opened the door for them? Isn't that wonderful that we can do those things? And that don't mean just us little children. That means we as adults need to be there to help each other. And you children are going to soon be going to school. So that means there are some children that might need you to say, "I need some help." So don't be afraid. I just remembered last week I was in Mike's pharmacy, and there was an elderly lady sitting at the door on the chair. I said, "Would you like a loaf of bread?" She said, "Oh, yes, I would." She said, "I'm all by myself." So I gave her a loaf of bread. That was in my trunk for my delivery. Boys and girls, you know God loves us, and he's there for us. I want you to remember this verse. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth him is born of God, and God knoweth. He that loveth and not knoweth that not God, God is love." But remember, boys and girls, try to reach out somebody today or whenever that God loves you. When you get back to church school, which you may go back now, there's a special treat there for you. Okay? Blessings. Oh, before you go, boys and girls, I want to pray for you. I'm sorry. Dear Father, we come to you to thank you for these dear children who have come forward. I pray that you will guide them and lead them in the way you would want them to go. Help them not to become discouraged, but just reach out to someone in love. It's what we ask in your name. Amen. Now you may go. It's taken from Ephesians 4:25 and Ephesians 5:2. So I will read straight through that, if I can still talk. "So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is a need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you are marked with a seal to the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God, as beloved children, and live in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." And this morning, we have with us James Wren, Reverend James Wren, from Lancaster County. I've known him for years, and I think some of other you know him. So, Pastor Jim, we are going to allow you to bring the message. May God bless you.
Well, good morning to you all. Thank you for allowing me to share with you this morning. I did not talk to Dennis directly, but I knew he was taking a trip to the Netherlands and was concerned because of the recent surge that maybe that wouldn't come off. So I assume he's there. Is that right? Okay. I'm glad he had that opportunity, or has that opportunity. Wag more, bark less. When I see that bumper sticker, I can't help but think of those dogs that incessantly bark. You know, the yappers that just bark and bark and bark. But after a while, at least in my neighborhood, we have a couple of those, and that gets under my skin. Contrast that to the dog that approaches you, not with constant barking, but with that tail wagging to welcome you. You know, there's a website for everything today, and lo and behold, there's one for wag more, bark less. And I found this on the website. Wag more, bark less means something a little different to everyone. To me, it means to enjoy life, to take a cue from your dog and focus on the present. To not focus on conflict, negativity, and all your problems, but instead be someone that brings joy to others. No matter what is going on in your life, your dog is always just as happy to see you when you walk through the door and will unconditionally love you no matter what. They don't worry about tomorrow's meeting or financial troubles. Instead, they just wag their tail. If we could only be more like dogs. I don't know where you're at in this whole mask thing, and I don't tell this story to for or against masks, but my mother's 91, and she recently has lost her license, so my sister and I do a lot of taking her to doctor's appointments and grocery stores and stuff like that. And some weeks back, I had to take her to the dentist. So I took her to the dentist, and I thought it best if I accompany her into the office. And this dentist office is a small office. In the waiting room, there were only four chairs. So Mom and I sat down, and that left two chairs. And lo and behold, there were other people coming in for appointments, and eventually the fifth person came in, and it was a lady. And so I thought I probably ought to leave. Now, in order to get into the dentist office, you had to put a mask on. And so I had my mask on, and I told the lady, I said, why don't you sit here? And I thought, well, I'll just step out in the sidewalk, and in 15 minutes, a chair will open up because the people need to go in and get their teeth cleaned or whatever. So I stepped out on the sidewalk. And I was just standing there. It was a nice day. And it was along a pretty busy street. And this car came along. And I had not taken my mask off. I don't know where my head was. But this car came along and slowed down. And the lady yelled at me through the passenger windows, take your mask off. There's no one around. I did not know that. I'm from E-Town, but I've been not there for a long time. I didn't know this lady from Adam, you know, and so, you know, and then she just kept going. Wag more, bark less. Wag more, bark less. That might be some good advice for those of us who are here this morning, for humanity in general. Believe me, I can bark incessantly, complaining about this, criticizing that. At times to others, I'm sure I sound like one of those yapping dogs in my neighborhood. Wag more, bark less, Jim. Rabbi Joseph Talushin, author of a book, Words That Hurt, Words That Heal, has lectured throughout the U.S. on the powerful and often negative impact of words. He often asks audiences if they can go 24 hours without saying any unkind words about or to another person. And he said invariably a number of people raise their hands and say yes. Others laugh, but he said quite a larger number of people call out, no, I can't. Talushin responds, those who can't answer yes must recognize that they have a serious problem. If you cannot go 24 hours with drinking liquor, you're addicted to alcohol. If you cannot go 24 hours without smoking, you're addicted to nicotine. Similarly, if you cannot go 24 hours without saying unkind words about others, then you've lost control of your tongue. You heard Grace read, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Or the Jim Rand translation of that would be, wag more, bark less. In Ephesians, Paul is writing to one of the many churches he had planted. One thing many of those churches he had planted had in common was they had grown rapidly. But then a number of them had declined rapidly. If you look at the verses right before what Grace read to you, Paul writes, now he's writing to Christians, friends. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of the hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. He says, you folks, you're Christians. You, however, did not come to know Jesus in that way. In this letter, Paul gives to the church in Ephesus, Paul gives several challenges. In doing so, he presents the purpose and plan of God clearly here so as to motivate the church to live in a way that will forward that purpose on earth. One of the steps for doing so is found in the scripture reading this morning. Live, act like followers of Jesus. Again, in verse 21, surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on a new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Paul, talking to Christians, says, come on, guys and gals, put off your old self. Put on your new self. In verse 25 and following, he tells them just how to do that. You heard Grace read, speak truthfully. Do not let the sun go down in your anger. Don't steal. Work. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And I like to spend some time with just that verse, verse 29 this morning, because as I observe in our culture, and sadly, as I observe in the church, there's a lot of barking, but there's not much wagging. There's not much wagging. Just listen to this verse 29 from some other translations. Eugene Peterson, in his version of the Bible, The Message, says, watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say what only helps, each word a gift. Is each word I say a gift to someone else? Is each word you say a gift to someone else? In the New King James Version, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Does what I say, every word, to someone else impart grace to the person listening? Does what you say to another person impart grace to them? Gift, a gift, grace. From the New Living Translation, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Are my words an encouragement to those to whom I'm speaking? Are your words an encouragement to those to whom you're speaking? In the NIV, which I'm preaching from this morning, Paul says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. And that unwholesome word is a translation of the Greek word sapros, which was used to describe something that is foul, putrid, decaying, or rotten. And it appears that Paul's use of this word here is to highlight the decomposing effect of bad language. It's one place in the New Testament where it is used of anything other than material things, mostly in a state of decomposition. One commentator suggests that it's probably not only the language we use, but also the content of what we say that has this effect. And the reasons for thinking that unwholesome refers to the content are the alternative is building others up. So there must be some content in the bad speech that tears people down. And the challenges that follow in verses 31 and 32 have to do with our attitudes toward others, which shows that Paul is concerned with what our talk does to others, not just the language we use. You recall Jesus' interaction with the Jewish leaders in Matthew chapter 12. Let me just share a little bit of that with you. Verse 22, then they brought him a demon-possessed man. They brought Jesus, a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute. And Jesus healed him so that he could both talk and see. All the people were astonished and said, could this be the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, it is only by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out demons. And Jesus goes on to say that we are judged by our words, which could be misunderstood as a superficial basis for judgment, especially since words can be careless. Jesus says, people will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. The fact is, however, that words, even or perhaps especially the careless ones that I may use, reveal the nature of their source, the human heart. Jesus goes on to say in his interaction with the Pharisees, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Wow. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. There's a writer from New York City. You know, we've all heard the old adage, if you can't find anything nice to say about someone, don't say anything at all. Well, Lauren Frey Daisley tried to follow that advice for 1 month. And she wrote an article, and it was entitled, My Month of No Snark. Now, snark is a combination, is a slang word that combines snide and remark, and it refers to sarcastic comments. And she writes, it started when my husband, baby, and I drove away from a visit with my aunt, who has stage 4 breast cancer. I thought back on the 30 years I've known her. I've never once in all that time heard her say anything unkind. Not even in the subtext of her words. That's one heck of a legacy. I began to wonder how would holding my tongue, or at least changing what came off of it, alter my relationships. And that's when she began her month-long campaign to practice kindness in her speech. Daisley discovered that it's not easy to live without snark. Instead, she wrote, it's so much cooler to be more sarcastic. It says I'm so above this scene, above other people even. And after her month-long experiment, she concluded, kindness of speech doesn't have to imply repression. It doesn't rein in humor or impede the fight for justice, but it does require discipline and substantive engagement with others. The Christian substitute for hurtful words is what helps to edify others, friends. The wording here in Ephesians 4:29, what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen, is similar to what Paul says in Romans 15. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. The sequence of thought in these passages is that conversation should benefit others. And that benefit is defined as what builds others up. Just as the former thief, Paul wrote, now helps in cases of need, so the person who formerly offended others with inappropriate language now meets their need. The speech of those who have received God's transforming grace now is always to be characterized by grace and should benefit, literally give grace to others. Doesn't mean that our words are means of saving grace, but they enrich the lives of others. You heard Grace in her reading this morning. She read from chapter 4, and then she began reading the first two verses of chapter 5. And I like the challenge that Paul gives to you and me there. Watch what God does, and then you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that, says Paul. Love like that. Pastor from the 20th century, his name is Alan Redpath, and I'm going to share a practical suggestion. In fact, you can get a pen out and write this down. This is really simple, but it's a practical suggestion, because I think I don't know about you, but I need to hear it. I think our culture needs to hear it. If anybody should be speaking differently, it should be those of us right here today, right? And he uses just this word, think. T-H-I-N-K. Think. And he uses it as an acronym. Think. Is what you say true? Is what you say true? H, is it helpful? Is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? Is it inspiring? N, this is a good one. Is it necessary? Well, there's many a times I said something and then I bit my lip. You know, stick foot in mouth, you know? Was that really necessary? Was it really necessary? And K, is it kind? Let me give you those again. Is it true? T, H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? N, is it necessary? And K, is it kind? You know, I think our world would be a better place if we followed the advice of Paul here in Ephesians 4:29. And God only knows our churches would be a better place if we followed the advice of Paul here in Ephesians 4:29. And if, you know, you kind of checked out when I started preaching, if anything you can remember from this sermon today is, friends, wag more, bark less. Wag more, bark less. Please pray with me. Father, we thank you for the gift of voice. We heard some ladies share in the gift of music and use their voices. Thank you for the gift of speech. Take it so many times for granted. We thank you for the opportunity to interact with others. So many people lonely and alone. We have the opportunity to interact with others. Father, we ask you that you'd help us to think. To think. Father, we ask you that you'd help us to wag more and bark less. Every word we say, a gift, imparting your grace and imparting the encouragement of Jesus. Amen. I think the closing hymn is a very appropriate hymn. Would you rise as we sing it? Lord, speak to me. Well, you don't have to wait till tomorrow morning to put all this in practice. I don't have to wait till tomorrow morning to put all this in practice. We can do it as we leave here today, and that's my challenge to you, that both me and you put Paul's words to us into practice. And now may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.